Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a news story that just illustrates how bad this propaganda is getting with the mainstream media to make sure you're aware of this so you don't fall victim to their games. Let's dive right in and first go to an article. I believe this was CNN Business. So we start here, title, Europe rejected Putin's ultimatum. So why is Russian gas still flowing? So let me just give you the gist of this article. They say that, Putin gave this ultimatum that they had to start paying today in rubles for the gas, most of these European countries. And since the gas is still flowing and the Europeans stood strong and they rejected Putin, this dictator, they rejected all of his ideas for the ruble. They're not going to play his games. They're going to stand strong. And now we see that Putin was just making this all up. It's just a big bluff, and Putin really has no leverage. That's pretty much the gist of this article, as you guys can imagine. That's kind of the mainstream narrative that we just hear over and over and over again. It's very similar to the Cerveza sickness narrative, where they all just try to repeat it so many times that you just start to believe that it's true and don't even question as to whether or not it's true. But once we dig beneath the surface, we can see that this is actually fake news. So let's go over to Zero Hedge. And this is authored by Mike Shedlock via Mish Talk, which I believe is his blog. I know he's pretty active on Twitter, although I don't follow him. But from what I've seen, his stuff in Zero Hedge, I don't always agree with it, but it seems to be very well thought through. So now he's, and this is from the same day, today, April 1st, the same day that this article came out from CNN Business stating that Putin has no leverage whatsoever and the West is putting him in his place. And this just shows that he's all talk. And basically, in my opinion, what they're trying to do is make Russia seem very weak and therefore to try to drum up support from the general public for the United States or the West to get involved with this war. That's what I think kind of their end game is. That's my hypothesis. But let's get back to what Mike Shedlock is saying. He says some reports say Putin backed down on his demand for rubles for energy. And this is exactly what he's referencing this article, or I don't know if he's referencing this article specifically, but one of these types of articles that we just saw from CNN Business. He says these reports are essentially wrong. And then he gives some examples from Forbes, title, Putin reportedly backs down on standoff over ruble payments for gas. Here from Bloomberg, Russian sanctions. Germany says Putin backs off demand for ruble gas payments. And so then he starts to kind of summarize the main views here. So understanding Putin's clever tactic. This is Mike's view on what's actually happening, or one of his views on kind of part of what we're seeing. He's not giving the full picture here. He goes into it more extensively, but here's how he starts. Russian President Vladimir Putin demanded rubles for energy. His concern was that new EU sanctions would freeze euro-denominated accounts of Russian energy suppliers. So basically, you guys have to think about this. If he doesn't demand rubles for energy, or maybe even more importantly, if he doesn't have these energy buyers set up accounts with banks that he has control over, whether it's rubles or dollars or euros, he doesn't know if they're going to freeze it. I mean, look what they did with the FX reserves for the Russian central bank. So the fact that they did it once, you know, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on me. And so that's really the main thing here, is he's trying to get them to pay bank accounts with Russian banks so he knows they're not going to be frozen. So they're not going to be giving away their energy for free, basically. And so Mike goes on to say, one of Putin's fears stems from the fact that payments for gas shipped in April get paid later in the month in May, depending on the contract. A second fear is European sanctions on Gazprom Bank. So basically, they front them the energy, and then they give them like 30 days to pay. Seems like this is how it usually is. So the gas that would be delivered here in April, they're not going to get payment on until May. So really what Putin's saying is, hey, this gas that we're giving you starting April 1st, you're going to need to make payment in one of our banks. So I know I'm getting paid starting, 30 days from now. And then his second fear, of course, is that they sanction one of the banks that could have accessed those accounts that were outside of the domestic economy in Russia. The EU said no to this demand, yet the gas still flows. So now he's referencing the article as kind of the mainstream narrative. So he says, what is really happening? The German Chancellor Olaf Scholz actually agreed to Vladimir Putin's clever way around the problem of ruble payments. The EU will pay in euros and via a separate account at Gazprom. So now he's talking about the Gazprom bank, or a bank that is under the purview of the Russian government. The EU said basically, okay, we'll go ahead and pay your account. We'll just pay you euros. And then as soon as you get the money, you can just switch it right over to rubles. Kind of a win-win. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. The point here is the concept behind, or Putin's rationale for wanting to be paid in rubles, is that he would get any currency, but it would be in a bank that he has control over. So he doesn't have to worry about it being frozen. That was his main rationale, according to Mike. So what Mike's saying is that, okay, so the EU isn't paying in rubles, but they're still paying in this account. So this is achieving Putin's objective. And so I think his main point here is, when you look at these headlines, and this is my main point too, it's an error of omission in what the media is doing. And they're taking kind of the truth, but they know that they're misrepresenting it. And the way they're misrepresenting it is just telling you what's happening at surface level and not understanding the nuance, or not explaining the nuance, excuse me. Because once you explain the nuance, then you see that it's not the fact that Putin has no leverage and Russia is completely falling apart and they're very weak. Therefore, we should go to war with Russia. And in other words, it's counter to the mainstream narrative once you understand the nuance of what's going on. So Mike goes on to say the EU will pay in euros via a separate account at Gazprom, which is, again, under the Russian government's purview. The euros are immediately converted to rubles. So he's basically getting paid in rubles. The account is under his umbrella, and the EU can still say that they're paying in euros. And that's why you get these kind of headlines that are really fake news once you kind of peel back the layers of the onion. So Putin says Russia to keep supplying gas amid shift to rubles. And I think what this is saying is, sure, we'll go ahead and give you gas. We're going to give it to you starting on April 1st, but you wouldn't make payments for a month anyway. So we're just going to make sure that those payments for the gas that's being delivered in April, when the payments are made on a net 30-day basis, that goes to this bank that is, we'll call it Gazprom Bank. So then Mike goes on to say the workaround highlights the silliness of the debate that one needs dollars to buy oil or gas despite dollars being the pricing unit. And in this case, Russia demands rubles that get them via immediate conversion from euros, or in some cases, US dollars, depending on the contract. Given that currencies are fungible, it does not matter what the pricing of the payment is. Now, here's where I might disagree with kind of the process that Mike is describing, because if you're demanding being paid in rubles, and in order to get those rubles to be paid, they have to sell their currency, you're going to create this dynamic where there's the supply-demand imbalance is being altered in favor of the ruble appreciating against the other currencies, very similar to the dollar dynamic that we see play out. Another thing, too, is that if, let's say, Gazprom gets paid in euros, and therefore they convert it immediately to rubles. And where are they getting those rubles? Okay, well, if they're getting them on the open market outside of the domestic economy, then that's going to alter the supply-demand ratio. But if they're actually getting those rubles from the Russian central bank, and then the Russian central bank holds on to the euros, then it's not circulating, chasing goods and services, or it's not circulating, affecting that supply-demand dynamic of rubles relative to other currencies outside of the country. Very similar to a lot of the whiteboard videos that I've done on the difference between the Fed increasing their balance sheet, base money, and that actually translating into more dollars circulating, chasing goods and services in the real economy. You can't just look at the Fed's balance sheet. You've got to look at the balance sheet of the average Joe and Jane, the non-bank entities in the real economy. And then you also have to look at the balance sheets of the commercial banks themselves. And just because one action is taken, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be an excess of currency units out in the real economy. It's kind of, I don't want to get too esoteric and kind of wonky with this video, but that's maybe the one thing that I'd want to, or I might push back a little with Mike. I don't know that he's getting into the nuance of how those rubles are, or how those euros are being switched to rubles. You've got to understand that further to really get an idea of if this is truly affecting the value of the ruble relative to other currencies and to what degree. So here's where he goes on to say that the ruble impact is minimal. And again, it depends. Where are they getting the rubles that they're exchanging the euros for? So then he goes on to kind of give the background as to how we got here. And then he concludes that basically this is a victory for Putin. So I'm not here to say, guys, that I'm in favor of Russia or Putin I'm in favor of the Ukrainian people. I'm in favor of the Russian people. I'm in favor of the European and the American people. What I'm against are the governments. And I don't care if it's the Ukrainian government. I don't care if it's the UK, the United States, the Russian government. I think they're all equally bad and authoritarian in just their own way. But I want to do my very best to try to find the truth. And in order to find the truth, I think you've got to use common sense, because none of us are in Russia right now. None of us are in Ukraine. None of us are there physically, so we can't see it with our own eyes. And we just have to take the word of whatever media source we can find. And there's so much noise that at the end of the day, I think you have to try to sift through all of this, the barrage, kind of the fire hose of information and propaganda that's coming your direction, and just use good old-fashioned common sense and say, wait a minute, who's telling the truth here, or what portion of this is accurate and true? And if it doesn't make sense, then there's probably a reason why. And right now, what Mike is talking about, to me personally, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but to me personally, it makes quite a bit of sense based on the research I've done. And this article from CNN Business does not make any sense to me. It seems like it's short-sighted. It seems like they are really intentionally not getting into the nuance in an effort to mislead. But that's my opinion, and that's my thought process. As far as what's happening and what's reality, what's truth, I'll let you be the judge. As always, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And remember to always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And we'll see you in the next video.